Thank you, Nancy and the choir, praise choir. Wonderful job. Did you enjoy that? Amen. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to continue our message from last week on God's mission for the church. Last week we talked about the Great Commandment, and it is the two most important commandments that has been given to us by God, containing the purpose of the church and the mission of the church. And churches across the nation has been busy over the years and decades of trying to fulfill this great commandment and the great commission. And we can't fall behind on it, because if we do, we get behind, and the kingdom of heaven is not going to be fulfilled like God is planning. But the last person who will be saved when that time comes, I believe, is when he'll come back. So it is our responsibility. It was given to the disciples and apostles to be courageous and diligent in their pursuit of the mission of the church, and so are we today. So as we look at this morning, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20. Last week I read from Matthew 22, 36 through 40, which was the great commandment. But we're talking about the Great Commission this morning. So in verse 16 of Matthew 28 says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up, and he spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" And in verse 19, here's where the Great Commission begins. I'm sorry I don't have that up on the screen this morning, but I will in a few minutes. So if you'll follow along with your Bible, that's great. Verse 19 says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here we see Jesus himself commissioning the disciples, the apostles, for a great purpose, for a great mission. One that he started, one that he implemented in coming to this earth, because he came that all may be saved. All who would hear the word, faith comes to hear and hearing by the word of God. And as we look at this passage of scripture, the final words of the Lord recorded here by Matthew were a promise that he would be with them always to the end of the age. And that has been true. He and that age, even though they're now with the Lord, they're in heaven, that age continues on through us, because it began in Jerusalem, and then it spread out to Judea, then Samaria, the half with the ones that the Jews considered half-breeds, or half Jew and half Samaritans, and because God included those, he included every person in this world to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then he said the uttermost parts, which is us, and lo, I will be with you to the ends of the ages. So though the Lord did not remain physically here with the 11, His spiritual presence was with them until their task on earth was finished. If you recall, when Jesus said, I'm going to go back to the Heavenly Father, I will go back and I will be seated at His right hand. I will be interceding for you. And I will send the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you the things that we have gone over, the things that I've taught you. This will be a reminder. This will be an inspiration to you to continue on. Because Jesus said, you have an even greater work to do. And that great work now falls upon all of us, the church, the people of God. So, these final words of the Lord were carried out by the apostles as they went everywhere, proclaiming the story of their Messiah, Jesus Christ, who over the sign over his head was the King of the Jews. So, last week we did talk about the great commandment, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and then love one another as you do yourself. So let's continue to look at this God's mission for the church as we look at the life according to Matthew as Jesus purposed it for the Great Commission. So first of all, let's look at that's the Great Commandment. Let's look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Now, last week I said the first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That was the first mountain peak truth that God spoke on the mountain. That's why I call it a mountain peak moment. It's a truth that God spoke while he was there. And this is a second one, the mountain peak truth, that Jesus left those who would love him with all their heart, soul, and mind, being loved and loving others as their own self. And that's why this is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So this Great Commission brings the first gospel to its grand finale. And that's why I call it finale. You know, it's a conclusion of Jesus' commandments before he ascended back to heaven. So if I knew my time to go to heaven was near through illness or an indication of age, then what statement I was thinking about this message, that I would leave those I love most. What was the statement that I would leave? Jesus knew he was leaving this earth, and he wanted to leave two important statements to those he loved. He loved his disciples, and he wanted them to understand what their commandment was, what their commission was when he ascended back into heaven. What challenge would I help them in seeing clearly the responsibility of life? And you know, as Nancy was reading that, be faithful to those who follow behind us, that one song is a mission song. How many knew who wrote it and sung it? Steve Green. Matter of fact, I remember it because the first time I heard it was back in 1986. I was at the Billy Graham Crusade in Tallahassee, Florida. I was in Bible college then, and I was able to go a week with some of my other colleagues in ministry. And we got to spend a whole week listening to Billy Graham and listening to great music and everything. George Beverly Shea, Steve Green was there, and that's when he sung this song that was Nancy quoted a while ago. So may we be faithful, is what that song, to those who follow us in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So So what encouragement would I inspire them to accept, or to accept it as Jesus did? I mean, just by Jesus speaking the words, and with them being with Jesus and seeing how Jesus went about doing good things, doing great things, miracles and signs, would inspire them, yes, Lord, we know we can't do it on our own, but we know that you said you would be with us, lo, always to the end of the age. So we know that we can do this, not by ourselves, but by you. And that's why John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and I in you, there's nothing impossible. Everything is possible with the Lord. So the resurrected Lord of life had just such an opportunity to share with his loved ones. And that's what Jesus did. He shared the great commandment and great commission to his disciples. So Jesus had sacrificially, he died and miraculously rose from the dead the third day. And then God in human flesh sounded the, what I would call the clarion call. He sounded that we who were born again by his blood and spirit should bring others into the redemptive master servant in a relationship with him. That's the clarion call. That's the trumpet sound, sounding the great commandment, the great commission. And we are to pursue and march as ambassadors and warriors straight forward as a church to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that was the commission. That was the commandment that Jesus shared with his disciples. And he didn't say, if you go, if you want to go, but he was expecting them by saying, as you go. So as we go, we do the same thing, just as the disciples did. So the Lord desires Christians to take heart this last word. And this, I would call it the last word and testimony. And most everybody has a last word and testimony. If they know their time short is here on earth, then they either write it out or they state it, what that last word and testimony is going to be, which Jesus left for us right here in Matthew. So now, let's look at the last words of Jesus, and we'll find the mission of the church is to make disciples that make disciples for the purpose of reaching people, and I want to say other nations, because Jesus said, you know, to the uttermost parts of the world. So in verse 17, as we look at it, and this is the second mountain peak truth that we were looking at right now. So in verse 17, it says, tell the disciples' response, and this is to seeing Jesus, the resurrected Lord of life, when he says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. When they saw him, they saw Jesus. They worshiped him. But some were doubtful. Now, that doesn't seem reasonable, does it? That didn't really sound logical, that when some of them saw him, they were still doubtful. And in verse 18, it begins, and Jesus came up, and then he spoke to them. So that should have erased all doubts right there when he came up and spoke to them. So after the disciples publicly worshiped Jesus as Lord of life, in verse 17, it draws near. In verse 18, it begins by stating the commission, or the mission that the disciples were to continue. And it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And that is correct. All authority by the Heavenly Father. And there's no other authority other than the high authority of our Heavenly Father who created all things and then put Christ Jesus over all of that. So that's why Jesus says, I have all authority. There's none other than the authority that's been given to me. And Christ always said, I do nothing except what the Father tells me, because he tells me exactly what he wants said. And I say nothing except what he tells me to say. So when we're looking at this passage of Scripture right here, which is a marvelous, wonderful passage of Scripture, and we should each day read this passage of Scripture, because the great commandment and the great commission, I mean, that is a mountain peak truth that we should each day as we get up and go about our way thinking, okay, I'm a part of this. I should be doing my part. And we have all the opportunity in this world to do our part, because we meet a lot of people. We meet a lot of people with different circumstances, with different needs, and so forth, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And they're looking for an answer. And Jesus would say, this is the answer. This is the answer of life. This is the answer to eternity. That this commandment to love God means that that he poured out his heart for this world through his Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And in order for other people to hear this great commandment and know what the Great Commission is, then we are to carry that out. That's the purpose of the church. That's why he established the church. Now, God could have done it all by himself, but he included us. I'm glad he included us, right? Because he included us because he had a purpose and a plan from the very beginning to include us in eternity. So eternity means that we're going to live forever and ever and ever. Now, we could have been placed here and we died and that'd been it. But he made a plan. God's plan still holds true today as it did from the end of beginning God created. To the end, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega, the beginning and the end, and there's no end for us. There's no end from God because there's no beginning because he's always existed. And so here we see that in verse 19 as we look at it, that's why Jesus said to his disciples, and this is a great purpose that he had for them. It's a great purpose for us here today. And that's why it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And when I say all nations, or this says all nations, Jesus said all nations, he's meaning all people of the world, all people of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's why I love being in the baptistry so much, right? Amen? I love being back there because it is fulfilling. It is seeing people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they're following the commandment of Jesus as he did himself, because he was faithful to the Father, and therefore the Father said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Now, don't we want to hear that too? That God is well pleased with us because we are his people, his children, fulfilling the great commission that he had given us, that we hadn't forgotten, we hadn't become slack in our commitment in what he has given to us. It's a wonderful, wonderful great purpose to be a part of the Great Commission. So Jesus commissioned and commands those who come under his authority. See, we are under his authority. He is our king. He is our commander. He is our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is everything to us. Literally, that means in verse 19, as you go, take his word to all the world. As you go, that's what that means, literally. As you go, take his word to all the world. Evangelism is something you do as you go through life. And that means it becomes a lifestyle. Can you think of anything right now that you do as a lifestyle? Yeah. You eat, right? Yeah, you eat, you sleep. That's a lifestyle, isn't it? You think about it. We spend 25 years, if you live to be 75 years of age, you spend 25 years of that sleeping. So that's become a lifestyle. We need it. Well, how much more I've needed it these last few days. It feels good when you're sleeping. You don't know about everything else that's going on with your body. So it's good to know that the lifestyle that God has implemented in our lives is to go about, because we have been given authority to do that. So it's something that we do in life. Now, the key right here to the Great Commission is not how many you get to go out for what I would call church visitation. And used to, churches all around the world or our nation would go out for visitation. But I want us to look at it this way. You know, it's like pulling teeth trying to get people to go out anymore in the world because of the circumstances that we face in this world today. But that's your reason. But instead, how many you can get to witness to others as they go through life. Now, that is the key. That's why I call that the key to life. So it is the Great Commission, and we should uphold it with all our heart and life. It reminds me of a story about a man. He didn't go to church. What he did on Sunday morning, he come outside with his golf clubs and in hand, put them in his car, and that's what he did on Sunday morning, went and played golf. Well, his neighbor come out too, and his neighbor was one to go to church, okay? And he hollered at him and said, "Hey, why don't you go play golf with us this morning?" Said, "We need an extra man." He said, "I already told you, I go to church on Sunday morning." So he says, I can't go play golf and when I'm going to church." And the man that's going to go play golf, he said, "You know what? I've asked you 7 times to go play golf with me. Not once have you ever asked me to go to church." Well, that was a slammer, isn't it? Yeah. That was a perfect opportunity for his neighbor, this man that goes to church, to say, "Hey, put them golf clubs aside. As much as I like to play, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't lay out to go play. I'd be in church." This man, he should have asked his neighbor to be in church or go to church with him. And see, he was slack on his commitment himself to the Great Commission, knowing that was a commandment from the Lord. Now, Jesus defines us who his disciples are in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 27, when he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Pretty profound words coming from Jesus, right? But he wasn't coming out and saying, hate them, but he said, "You're letting other things become the priority in your life rather than following me in your life. If they're more important, if your family or other things in this world is more important than me, then you're not a true disciple of mine." That's what Jesus is saying. So if one is not a disciple of Jesus, it is next to impossible to complete the rest of the assignment of verse 20, when it says that we find a great promise. This is a great promise. In the latter part of verse 20, it says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." Now, all the days of our lives suggest these kind of things. The day of hope, the day of sorrow, the days of accomplishments, the days of disappointments, the days of victory, and the days of defeat, days of strength as well as the days of weakness, the days of success as well as the days of failure and joy, affliction, liberty, temptation, health, sickness, laughter, sadness, wealth, poverty, obedience, disobedience, youth, old age, the day of new life, a new birth, and the day of physical death. All of these things are realities, aren't they? And these are the things, are the days of our life, all the days of our life. These are the things that we encounter. So what does it mean that you will never witness to anyone alone? What does that mean? You will never knock on the door of anyone's home alone. You will never share your faith in the gospel alone. What does that mean? It means that Jesus will be with you. He will. Every time I've ever went to witness to anyone, I knew that that was why I was going. That was the purpose I was going. Before I got out of my car and before I even left the office or home, I said, "Lord, you paved the way for this intercession this day. Prepare the heart. Prepare me. Give me wisdom and understanding what needs to be said, that this person will understand what the Great Commission and what becoming a Christian really is all about." You'll never share your faith in the gospel alone. Jesus will be with you. The one to whom all power in heaven and on earth has been given goes with you. Isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. And in conclusion, I want us to think about this. Why do we fear then? Who was it said? We don't have nothing to fear but fear itself. Yeah. Jesus is with us, and why do we hesitate? Jesus is with us. If we take hold of that promise, it will quicken our steps and encourage our hearts to get with God's mission of the church. And I want to leave with this morning. By obeying the Great Commission, just by obeying the Great Commission, we learn to apply all that we have learned about Jesus' life. We have learned everything about Jesus' life. This was his life, and this was his life, his great commandment, and his great commission to us. Because Jesus went about doing good. He had compassion, and it drew people to him because he did things in all extraordinary ways because he loved them. And remember, you are not alone. This is a promise. That's a great promise. That's one of the greatest promises in here. And that's one I love to hear and I love to read about because I know that as I go out, each day, I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. And Jesus promises, "Surely I will be with you even to the end of the age." Now, think about that when you go out in the mornings and you go about your task. You go to your work. You're not going there alone. God is providing you a way. He's providing answers. He's providing you instructions. He's providing you wisdom to be able to get through that day. And I had to depend upon him each day. I do not even try to approach the task in my life, and I know you do too, without his assistance, without him, and knowing that he is with me every step, every breath, every motion, every conduct, everything about our being, He is with us. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That's a great promise, a great purpose, a great commission. Our Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessing. Lord, we are so inspired by Your Word, how You chose men to write it specifically that will help us in this life, help us to understand of Your great love. And then the responsibilities that you give us. It's not a burden, but it's a blessing, because we are to reach out just as You did. You came to this earth. You came from a perfect place into this world where sin abounded. And You went to the cross. You died for us. The grave couldn't keep You. Oh, death, where's Your sting? You were victorious. And Lord, that's something for us to our own witness and testimony to other people who maybe doesn't understand Your Word, maybe doesn't even go to church, to know if we believe and we truly believe it, then it will help others as well accept it without being doubtful, as some of them did, as our scripture told us a while ago. Our Father, we thank You that You give us an invitation, and during this invitation, may we, each and every one of us, search our hearts, and those listening today that may have a special need. Lord, You're here this morning. Your Spirit is real and alive and ready to touch and remove anything from our lives that doesn't belong, and give us a peace of mind. Give us that salvation that only You can give through Your Son, Jesus Christ. May we accept Your invitation this day, Lord, and may we do it with gladness of our heart, knowing that it gives honor and glory to You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.